Welcome to Rabble Rants. I'm Santiago Helo Quintero, and alongside Jesse McLean, we're going to unpack the stories that have us most riled up and challenge the narratives around them.
These Rabble Rants are now on their own feed, so be sure to subscribe there, as well as our other podcast, Blueprints of Disruption. If you can support our work, we've got a link to our Patreon in the show notes for every episode. It helps us create even more content and expand our reach by doing things like taking out ad space in very cool publications like The Grind TO. So keep an eye out for that.
It may not look or feel like it, but it's technically springtime. Could have fooled me by the snow outside, but more than springtime, it's migrant spring. At least that's what migrant rights organizations are referring to this time as, and they launched that off with a rally last week. Rallies, I should say. Several rallies across the country. I went to the one in Toronto's Christie Pitts, marched to Chrystia Freeland's office. It was great. There was some excellent, and I do mean excellent, Brazilian drumming. It was a fantastic time. And it meant a lot to me because I was there with my friend Sergio, who come September is going to have to leave Canada because he is not going to be able to make the point threshold needed to apply for the lottery system for permanent residence. Apparently, though, Immigration Minister Mark Miller, and the rest of the federal government are not feeling the migrant spring energy. Quite the contrary. Instead of status for all, instead of regularizing all undocumented workers, instead of no longer scapegoating migrants for all of the crises that are their fault for their inaction, what do we get instead? On the International Day to End Racism, they decided that it was the perfect day, the perfect moment to announce that they are going to be drastically decreasing the amount of migrants in the country, as well as changing the labor market impact assessment work visa rules to, instead of being valid for 1 year, it's only valid for 6 months. For those of you who do not know what labor market impact assessment visas are, or LMIAs, it's essentially shitty exploitative work that Canadians don't want that we bring in migrants to do instead. But apparently, we want them for even less time, because housing crisis or something. That's their logic. It's not good logic. This was like right after the launch of Migrant Spring, and it just felt like such a fuck you, especially when Mark Miller has been promising that this spring he was going to introduce legislation that would create a plan for regularization. Now, let's be clear, he's not going to do a status for all, but he was saying that for some undocumented workers, there would be a pathway for regularization. I mean, I emailed his office about this, and the quote from them, which was also a bit of a fuck you, was exploring options for regularizing the status of undocumented workers who are contributing to Canadian communities, whatever that means, as if there are undocumented workers who aren't. I mean, I talked to an undocumented worker at the rally. I'm not going to say their name because I don't want them to face trouble. But they're working in healthcare and their status expired. They've been trying to renew their status. They work in life-saving care every day. And they apparently aren't good enough, aren't Canadian enough, whatever the fuck they think these things mean. And by they, I mean the government, to get status.
I don't think people realize how much we rely on temporary foreign workers in some of these sectors, like healthcare. Like, two of the sectors that don't even have any caps are construction and health industries. They've been exempt pretty much from these new rules. But that's like 20% for most of the industries on the list. And construction and healthcare is about 30%. Agricultural workers that we've talked about on the show before, when we talked to Justice for Migrant Workers, That's 15% of their workforce are temporary foreign workers. So how Mark Miller can say that these folks, or imply that these folks, don't contribute to Canadian societies when they're working in building things, our healthcare system, and our food systems. And I mean, the scapegoating here, I don't think, will be obvious to people. I'm afraid that a lot of people are going to look at this legislation and think that the Liberals are actually doing something, because they are really hopping on that racist bandwagon that is pointing to immigrants for the problem of for everything. Even healthcare, you know, folks are just like, our healthcare system is taxed because of, taxed, I mean, like, over capacity, because of all the immigrants that are coming into the country. No one mentions that they're actually running the healthcare system. And the reason we rely on them is because it's so strapped for cash. The only people that hospitals are paying are folks that are really working outside of the fucking labor code. So they can pay them peanuts. They don't have to have the same protections or benefits. And so you wouldn't have any healthcare at all, especially with the shortages that we have right now, if it wasn't for these workers. That's why the cap didn't apply to them, because we are so reliant. So this will allow, I think, the Liberals to appear as though they're doing something when all they're doing is harm.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the numbers for a second, because Miller said in 2023 that Canada has 2.5 million temporary residents, which is 6.2% of the population. Their plan over the next 3 years is bring that percentage down to 5%. That's hundreds of thousands of people. But, you know, out of that 2.5 million, 1.7 million are without permanent status. And over 500,000 of them have no status at all. What does it mean to not have status? It means you can't go and get good employment. No, you're going to get a job that is going to exploit you. Getting housing, you're going to end up with housing that is going to exploit you. You don't have access to the same services. You don't have access to the same rights. Second class citizen doesn't even work, because they're not even citizens, but it's an under tier of society. Now a lot of people like to think, oh, well, you know, they're coming here and they're, you know, using all our services. No, they don't apply to any of the services. And they're still paying taxes, most of them. They're still paying taxes. They're not using any of our services. All they're getting is exploited. Many of them can't go home. Like the healthcare worker I mentioned, a refugee from Kenya. Many of them are refugees. Many of them fled their parts of the world because of Western powers going in and fucking shit up for them, making their home somewhere where they can't live. And our society is intentionally built off the back of them. And it's not, and I want to be clear about who the blame is, because it's federal, it's provincial, it's everyone. It's everyone's fucking blame. Liberal, Tory, same old story. They both have a role in this.
I'm also pissed off how they're trying to frame it as temporary residents versus workers, as though anyone can reside here really without working. Like, I know there's limitations on international students. So folks, the caps that we're talking about are not just on workers, but asylum seekers who go on to work, and international students who are often forced to work, even if they don't have the ability to work legally. It still means they're likely having to work really exploitive jobs because they need cash to get by day to day. We talked about, Santiago was going over the realities of temporary foreign workers specifically, and again, we'll link back to the episode that we did with Chris Ramsaroops, because he goes over how, you know, they're housed by their employers, mostly in, same with international students, often end up in rooming houses, that these aren't people that are competing for 1-2 bedroom apartment rents. They're definitely not the people that are like buying up the houses that you can't afford. These aren't competitors in the housing market. They're usually housed with their friggin' employer, which is just such an awful situation. They can't unionize. at all. They can organize, and they are, which is great, through all sorts of different alliances and whatnot, and it's needed, but they can't officially unionize. And they're stuck to this one employer, and the abuses are horrible. Just the CBC posted a story on March 15th. It was from a PEI farm who since 2018 have on record all of these complaints of abuse and exploitation. Some are paying thousands of dollars for visas and they come over and there's no job even waiting for them, all at this one farm. The CBC looked into it. They had 217 temporary foreign workers they were allowed to hire. 14% of those, so 31 of them, ended up being granted the status. If there is a system, if your employer is abusing you, you can go to the government and prove it, and they will allow you to free you like a slave. They will free you from that employer, and you can go try to find another employer who's going to hire you on another PEI farm after you complained about one of their fellow farm operators, owners. But either way, 31 of those were granted this document. They were able to prove how horrible the conditions are, and they've done nothing to censor these. So you've got grassroots organizations that have clear demands to address these conditions that we're talking about, you know, the status for all, ending all the deportations. And specifically on March 21st, the Migrant Rights Alliance held a phone zap where they were calling Mark Miller. And I don't know if they actually went through with this in the evening because his announcement was earlier in the day, specifically to have no exclusions, no caps, and no delays. And that must have been such a fucking blow to be met by that announcement on during their migrant spring. Hopefully it doesn't slow them down, and it doesn't actually mean Mark Miller, the immigration minister, won't eventually work towards the pathways that he's talking about. Like, I can be doubtful, but that was a harsh move. And yeah, it plays right into they're competing with Pierre Poilievre and his attempt to really scapegoat immigrants for this next election.
Yeah, and it's that mentality of scapegoating immigrants, it's so powerful right now. There was one, because I read an article about this, the Status for All protest, and I was looking for international students to interview, and I ran into one international student who was a journalism student. I didn't know them, actually, and I was talking to them, and it honestly shocked me, the things that they were saying, because they drank the whole fucking Kool-Aid. They were talking about how the other international students aren't working hard enough, how, yeah, every excuse in the book, you know?
They're not alone. It's like 75% was the poll of people think that immigration is putting a stress on housing.
This was an international student, right? And I started talking to them, right? Because I was like, do you know how the point system works, right? You're a postgrad. You get a year, right, to get the points. So you got to find full-time employment pretty much the second you exit this store if you have any hopes of maybe meeting the qualifications, and there's no fucking jobs in journalism, right? They seem to really not notice at all. And the more I was talking to them and the more about the realities, I saw, like, you know, their perception of it changed. But, like, even people who are directly affected by this are blaming international students, right? I'm going to use another story here. There's a technical advisor in my program. I'm not going to say their name because I haven't, you know. Anyways, they're a recent graduate from the degree journalism program, and they got employed as a technical advisor part-time by the college. Now, you know, colleges, they barely hire anyone full-time. It's all part-time, four-month contracts. You got to fight for your job every 4 months, you know what I mean? And they have very little time themselves to meet the point requirements. Now, there's no jobs in journalism at all. And this person, they're so good at what they do that that one of my professors, who also teaches in the degree program, they use one of their interviews as an example to teach other students what good interviewing is like. And I was talking to them, and they're worried that they might not be able to stay, that their status might expire. I mean, whatever the fuck meritocracy you think is going on here is not going on here. There is no meritocracy to save people. You're taking people who are extremely good at what they do and you're sending them up. But you know what? I don't care if you're extremely good at what you do. Everybody should be able to stay. Everybody. Why? Because it's our benefit. We live in the second biggest country in the world. We have more than enough space for everyone. You know, talking about the housing crisis, I can't stop saying this. I say this every time. Go bring in construction workers from around the world, give them PR, and let's start building. Not that that's, I mean, there's more to it than that. We talk about, you know what I mean? There's hopefully non-market, yada, yada. You know, we have all the, but my point being is that to every fucking bullshit rationale that they use to scapegoat migrant workers, there is a response to it. It's all based on prejudice. It's racism. It's and quite frankly, what we have right now is a form of apartheid where we have a second class in society that is being used for all the shit work to keep everything else up. And it is affecting everybody. You think it's not affecting you? You think it's good that you have millions of people struggling? That's not good for you. I'm pissed
because
the only, I mean, this is politics right here, right? There is nothing to gain by kicking people out. Nothing at all. Not one good thing. It's not costing us a goddamn thing. Kicking people out makes no fucking sense. It's a fucking cruel system.
What makes it even more upsetting is it's all just a fucking distraction from who's actually causing the problem. That's it, and that's its whole purpose is, you know, scapegoating isn't just to find someone to blame, but it's also to make sure we don't ever blame or go after the right people. The people who will never make enough homes for us to live in because they profit off of there being a lack of supply. They profit off of falsely inflated house prices and grocery prices. And these people are doing just fine right now. So even the crisis that Mark Miller makes up, he makes it up because he calls this an affordability and a housing crisis. And that's not fucking true because the rich can afford everything they need to right now. And the things that they're selling are selling enough that they're still making record profits in all of the sectors that we are unable to pay for the basic necessities in. And this is starting to include our healthcare system and private clinics. They're making hand over fist while our health system is depleted, while it relies on exploitative labor on top of it all. And so all of this talk about an affordability crisis and a housing crisis and grocery price crisis, it's all made up. Yes, it exists. Yes, we can't afford this, but it's not a crisis. It's people doing this on purpose because they are securing billions of dollars for them and their own and their investors. And the liberals, this is the liberals. This is them. They are landlords themselves. They are likely invested in all of the same funds that are making these moves to consolidate around real estate specifically. But it's never ending. We are ruled by the elites. And the last thing they want to do is come after the people who are actually solving the problem. So people like Sergio and other folks, like, this is May 1st. A lot of these employers have until May 1st to make these adjustments, meaning there's a lot of people who expected to have jobs going into the summer that will not. They will be sent home. They'll be deported. Like, that is absolutely fucking devastating to people, not to mention their families that are relying on this employment. Like, they shouldn't be, but the reality is they are.
I need, like, people to think about this for a second. Like, and I know, I'm yelling. I'm not yelling at you guys, audience. Like, I know this isn't you guys, but, you know, when we blame migrants for the housing crisis, it's like, hold on, you know, average one-bedroom rent in Toronto is what, like $2,500 right now? What fucking undocumented temporary foreign worker, whatever you want to call, is making enough money to afford that? Who exactly, like, do you think that they're the reason that you can't get, like, that we can't get an apartment? Like, no. It has nothing to do with them. They're living in fucking basements, crowded. You got five people sharing a bedroom. It has nothing to do with it. Like, this is, like, it frustrates me how politically just dumb this is. Like, it's so easy to refute all of it. And media is completely failing at responding to any of this, at any of this at all. It, like, come on, when we teach about scapegoating, we use migrants as an example. How is this still going on? And I know all the answers of why and everything, but, like, fuck them. Sorry, I'm just not the most coherent right now. Because they're, like, what coherence does this require? Like, I can sit here and make elegant arguments. I can sit here and spout numbers and data and talk about theory and talk about why this is the right decision. But at the end of the day, this is just fucking cruel. Like, at the end of the day, it's not what society is about. This is not what we should be doing. Nobody benefits from this whatsoever.
Mark Miller might, you know, and the Liberals might.
No, they're still going to lose the fucking election. They make money off of them, though. They make money off of these fucking temporary workers, off of undocumented workers. They make money off of it. It's not hurting them at all.
Nope. But they do need a scapegoat, because I think it's becoming more and more obvious to people exactly who we should be upset with. And that becomes a dangerous position for the political elites. And so they really ramp it up. And this is like real U.S. style shit coming from Mark Miller, because you have to pair this with the other things that he's done as well, like requiring visas from Mexicans visiting Canada. Like, that has never happened before. This is the first time there's ever been caps on this. They are really ramping up the scapegoating for the next election in an attempt to compete with their racist counterparts. And that is terrifying in itself, but it's real U.S.-style, distracting, politics divisive, and it ends up being, goes beyond the deportations, it goes beyond the exploitative labor, because it starts to be really dangerous then for racialized folks, for migrants, when they become the ire of all of the things that Canadians are struggling with, like rent and food and healthcare, and everyone is blaming this certain set of people, and then you even start housing them in a very specific shelter and everyone knows where they are, and it's just like, it becomes very, very dangerous political game that they're playing with people.
You know what's fucked, though, is that, like, you know what people are really angry about? A fucking carbon tax. You know, like, yeah. At the end of the day,
my neighbor talks about nothing but the carbon tax. I swear to God.
They have it so twisted. Like, the game is so fucked up that you know what? They're scapegoating migrants, but everybody is caught up talking about a fucking carbon tax, as if, like, it's infinitesimally small, the impact that this carbon tax is having on anyone. Yet that's what everyone's focusing on right now, a fucking carbon tax. So the Liberals are still going to lose the election. They're still going to lose their power. Mark Miller's still going to go. And oh no, he's not going to be immigration minister, but I'm sure he'll have a cushy job working for some fucking, you know, lobbyist, fucking corporation, board seat, whatever the fuck he gets, he'll be fine.
That's something that I feel like we don't remind people of enough. And we kind of are flawed for it ourselves, because quite often we say, you know, you have to create enough political pressure. Like, what do you do about it all, right? What do you do about it all? You create enough political pressure that they think they're going to lose their jobs. But, you know, then we do episodes where we can prove that the NDP is even run by lobbyists, or once they leave, they end up being lobbyists. And so their job security isn't so much hedged in the political realm anymore. And so you can't even sometimes play the political games with them anymore and threaten their their elections, because that becomes a sideshow to them. It's actually a barrier to their more well-paying jobs that don't require so much public scrutiny. So they're probably dying to get into the private sector.
I mean, look what David Eby's doing, right?
You mean John Horgan?
Sorry.
Eby will follow Horgan, I'm sure, but Horgan, there really is no difference between the two. I don't blame you, but yes, exactly. Exactly.
He's like an oil lobbyist now, isn't he?
Yeah, natural gas or coal. Coal. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's coal, I think.
Yeah. Your great NDP premier in the great progressive province of British Columbia.
And Mark Miller, I can only imagine a horrible future for him. But in reality, he has had such high level portfolios that he really can't possibly give a shit what we think about him. You know, he was the housing minister. He blames all of the immigration on it. So he's like, okay, well, I'll get into immigration and I'll fix it all. And it's like such bullshit. Even his quotes, he's going out there saying, you know, we expect businesses to use the temporary foreign workers program as a last resort. The fuck you do, buddy. You have designed, this is the first time you've ever put a cap on it. This whole labor system is designed around this program. If Tim Hortons can use it, there's no last resort.
No. And to be clear, like, if you want an LMIA job in Toronto, you know what employers are actually doing? Because, you know, LMIAs, many of them, you know, you talk to an immigration lawyer and they tell you, oh, you got to go work construction in Nova Scotia, or, you know, go work as a fisherman in Newfoundland and Labrador, or, you know what. But, you know, there are LMIA jobs in Toronto. You know how you get them? You got to pay your employer like $25,000 under the table to get hired in an LMIA job that, you know what, you're lucky if you're going to make that money back. But you know what? At the end of it, maybe you'll be able to qualify for PR after. So, hey, you want to be able to stay in Canada? Essentially work for, you know how low underneath minimum wage that's going to be at that point?
Well, that's the funny part. Like, not funny, haha, but temporary foreign workers exist because they're paid less. In some circumstances, an employer might be able to prove that there's a certain technology or skill set that they need in a place in Canada where there's nobody there that fills that. And it's a specialized job and it might actually pay more. But that is not the majority of these jobs. They literally will be paid less than anybody else. And this gets worse the more precarious that relationship is between the employer and their status, right? And so the fact that they're being scapegoated as economically competing with us is, especially in terms of housing, and that's ridiculous. It that does not stand up. That's not possible. Not to mention we've just spent so much energy explaining how real estate developers are the ones that essentially decide and drive housing prices. But Bank of Montreal, you know, they fucking jump on this too. And so it's no wonder so many people across the political spectrum truly believe like this is some sort of answer to housing, right? Even BMO came out with a statement that saying that they're pretty sure, one of their financial advisor analysts thinks they're pretty sure that not only will rents ease, but interest rates. So the banks are like dangling this fruit. Banks who fully know that there's people making bank loads of money off of real estate and the housing market, and they are saying this is the solution to all of your woes. And once the banks start lining up behind your policies, then you know they're wrong. I know the folks that are running the Justice for Migrant Workers and the Migrant Workers Alliance and all the other affiliates are already up against incredible odds. So no doubt they were steeled against this, maybe even expected it. But I do anticipate that they will ante up a little bit. They're already in the middle of their migrant spring, as Santiago mentioned, so we'll link you to some of the events that they have planned and to a bunch of organizers that you folks can start supporting and following. But I think the best call to action, honestly, is to start having conversations. And we talk, I mean, there's a lot of conversations we have to have about a lot of things, but there's a lot of people around you that really, and maybe even you, I think you, if you're listening, the odds are there's people out there going, yeah, but, you know, if you do continue to bring in all of these people and they're competing for X amount of resources and like, just please don't fall into that trap. There's no shortage of resources, like as though it's some sort of anomaly, like some sort of thing that just sprung up. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's wrong with the housing crisis. We know exactly that we need to be punching up and not down. Like, so, yeah.
We extract so many resources from impoverished nations around the world. Canada is a rich, rich nation. We have so fucking much. It might not seem like it because, you know, I look around, look out my window, I see people struggling, you know? Like, literally. Like, where I'm sitting, I can see signs of struggle. So it might not look like it. But it's a rich, rich nation. We're more than fucking enough. And now, if you're... logic is, well, that's not going to change, so they're going to affect all of us. You're punching down instead of punching up. And if you think that that's going to make a difference in your life, then you're wrong. And I can sit here and make all of the elegant arguments I don't want to. I don't want to make an elegant argument right now. Like, you're just wrong. And you can figure out why you're wrong pretty easily. We talk about so much fucked up shit all of the time. And it's rare that... Like I've almost... Not numb. Numb's not the right word because I'm not numb. But, like, I usually manage to calm my head and make good, valid point. You know, like, good arguments. But right now, I'm like, this is really impacting me. This is really... Like, I don't want to live in a society that does shit like this, you know? We're playing with people. We're playing with people's lives here. Meanwhile, you have families out in places like Punjab in India who are literally betting their farm, selling their family farm to be able to send their kids to get a shit fucking degree. At an Ontario college, under the idea that it's going to be able to lift their family up, and they get nothing. They lose everything. Like, can you imagine? Like, the idea, go to school, work hard, you're going to be able to make it, and instead your whole family loses everything because of it.
What sucks about those stories right now for me is the fact that instead of driving to make changes in the systems, like so they don't get a shit education, so they don't have to pay so much more, so they don't have so many restrictions placed on them when they're over here. And the same goes for all the demands made of the temporary foreign workers that are coming here that, you know, even a UN envoy describes as slavery. Instead of making any changes for those people to make improvements, they're still using those stories that you're using for different ends, right? Like Mark Miller would use that story or is using that story as an excuse to cap the international students, not to change any kind of power relationship that they have here once they get here, but it's just he would take that same story about the same farm and family and say, well, we're trying to prevent that. When we get a tighter control on the numbers, we can prevent stories like that, but not actually taking any regulatory changes that would prevent it. Just at this numbers game, as though if there are fewer people here, all of a sudden we are going to have no housing problem at all.
You know what happens if they have fewer international students?
Our universities are going to crumble.
Yeah, because right now international students are outpacing the Ontario government into funding Ontario colleges. They are funding it more than the government. Like, how crazy is that?
It tells
you. But they're the problem.
No, and it, but it also tells you what they're willing to risk, because this goes for all the sectors. There's a lot of employers out there that I don't have any pity for, but I can tell you they're going to be upset with the Liberals having to readjust their workforce on such short notice, and having, if you're going to have to hire Canadian workers instead of temporary foreign workers, you're going to have to pay more, and they don't like that. So they're risking some political capital, some actual capital, right, because this is costly, all of it, to put limits, arbitrary limits, too, on things like this. But it's important enough for them to scapegoat. Right? They are willing to do all of this, and because some of these are not going to be good moves. Like, the racists can look back at it and be like, yeah, it feeds into them. But any actual economist or any employer that's involved with this program, any worker that's involved with this program or organizing around these programs, they've upset all of those people. And that's okay, right? Because that tells you what they've got to lose is greater, right? The knowledge that the housing market and all of these crises that we're suffering under are their fault. Purposely. You know, it's not like an oopsie fault. It's, this is how we designed our system. We're benefiting off of it, and we need you to not realize that.
I think it's fair to say that it's more than time to shut shit down. This is going to affect everyone, and it shouldn't have to. Like, that shouldn't be my argument. I shouldn't have to make a, well, you're going to be directly impacted. This, so go fight for yourself. No, like, we should be fighting for others regardless of our own benefit, but like, we need to shut shit down over this. It's not okay. And they cannot be allowed to get away with this.